We've asked the Lord, I guess really starting Monday night, Lord, would you show me?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to embarrass anyone. But just some of the responses of people are telling me that God's showing people you, but you don't want to believe what God's saying. It is Romans 2. Your thoughts, meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Because everybody else is the problem. Now, I don't know everything, and I'm not nearly as experienced as some men. But I've been doing this a long time. And I may look dumb, I may act dumb, I may be dumb. There's a couple things I know. And because I'm a human, I know some debate that. I know human reasoning. And everything wrong this week is somebody else. Not me. Why do people do this? Why do they do that? Why do these people get up and testify? Why did she say something? Why did he say something? Why do they shout? That's your problem. That is God trying to show you you. You just don't believe that's what you really are.
That's right.
Amen.
Everything that's irritated you this week at these services is you.
Amen.
Because you can't offend a dead man. You ever kick a corpse? They just lay there. You ever yell at the corpse? They don't respond. But you do. Which tells me you're not dead to self, which tells me that when God does try to reveal what you are, your thoughts excuse it. Sister Debbie made a good statement. That person you think you're better than. God forbid.
Yes. Yes.
God forbid.
Yeah. That's good.
So God's showing you what you are, you just don't want to agree with God.
That's right.
All that bitterness. I was struggling with envy a little bit ago. Sister Ruth Ann had a little baby girl in her lap, little Noah Jr. She's rocking her back and forth. I saw the eyelids getting heavy. Little Bethany went to sleep. And I was envious. I said, well, I wish my mommy was here. Wish my grandma was here to rock me to sleep. But I got to preach. I know we're all tired. I'm tired. But I'm not weary. I was up at 5 this morning. I was up to toot my horn. I wasn't happy about that. I wasn't excited about that. 8 o'clock, I went back to bed. I told my wife I'm going to bed. She's able to look in my face and cowered in the corner and hid. Covered the children. Got up at 9 o'clock and smelled sausage cooking. Thank God for pork. A lot of folks don't like pork, Brandy. You got a spiritual problem. So I started frying some eggs, and Liliana goes bolting up the stairs. I hear her yelling, Mommy, was she yelling emergency? So I think she yelled emergency. Mine's an emergency, or it's major, or serious, or something. I'm like, what in the world? And I heard mumbling and babbling. She comes running to the kitchen. She goes, Daddy, Peter, Timothy, Megan, Abby, and Lydia are walking up the sidewalk. I want to go back to bed. Now, I'm being serious about this. I was still in my pajamas. My wife says, honey, you're in your pajamas. I said, the other one just showed up. I don't care. Now, my pajamas are modest. I have children. I don't parade around in front of my children indecent. So they walked in the kitchen. Someone kind of looked like this. I told them, I said, you're the ones that showed up. I ain't changing for you. When it got weird, I did. And then texts started coming in. Calls started coming in. Messages started coming in. Pray for me. This is what God showed me. We need prayer. I'm wretched. I'm vile. Pray for me. One man said, I have aught with you. I said, well, you don't have to. I said, I don't got a problem with you. So he told me what it was. We got it settled. You know why? He's a man. He's learned to become a man. Got another phone call. I made a phone call. I said, either a spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So I pretended like I was spiritual for a little bit. I got another message. God revealed truth to somebody in the inward parts. Amen. Something they'd never seen. Amen. I got a message from somebody who's not able to be here tonight. He said, pray for us. I want God to use me, and I'm so vile and so wretched, and God's revealing what I really am, and it's an awful thing. I need prayer. And I'm telling you the truth. My phone would go off. I'd look at the phone. It'd be somebody else. I finally text Pastor Black one time this afternoon. I said, brother, just pray. God is working.
Amen.
It's not fruit as we want it. But it's what God wants. So God has been revealing himself to you. And God has been revealing you to you. You just don't like his answer. You realize to be carnally minded is enmity with God. The second you trigger, you're on the outs with God. You can't be spiritually minded at that point. Now listen, I'm going to be honest. I did pretty good today. I don't always. I handled okay today, especially the immense pressure I was on. With five people sitting in my kitchen, my wife in the living room crying because five people showed up at 9 o'clock in the morning. I did okay. But then we had prayer. God met with us. I said, well, I'm kind of glad they're here. I spoke to someone else today. I said, how are you doing? He said, okay. I said, your face is lying. The person I know. There's a whole lot of faces been lying this week. As many of you are not okay. You've resisted God this week. God's trying to reveal you and you do not want to see it. You excuse it. You make accusation, everybody else is the problem this week. We stayed up in the lodge up on the mountain. Everybody always thinks it's something cracked up to be. It's not. But when they took the ping pong table out, I refused to stay there just for that. When you're the champ, it's tough. We had a lot of folks staying up there. We had a house full. People from different walks of life. People from somebody said, you know, years ago, they said, why don't we just commune meals? And I said, because it doesn't work, because nobody likes what anybody else likes. And I was looking at all the slop the other people were eating as I'm eating my bacon and guacamole, and they didn't like it. So I said, well, nobody eats the same, nobody lives it. Let's just do our own thing. And then we had Southerners come in. It was rough. All these people in these homes, and all these people in the lodge, all these people in the acre, and all these people have come into this meeting, I believe, for one purpose, because they want to meet with God.
That's right.
But some of you don't see it that way. There are people sitting here tonight that your pastor has sown in their life. That pastor sown in their life, or the Maury who was here sown in their life, I've sown in their life. And they want to be under preaching. I remember a couple years ago, somebody asked Peter, a lady said, kind of sarcastic, why do you come to these meetings? You're looking for a girl? And Peter deadpanned or looked her right in the eyeball and said, no, I just want to be under preaching. You don't hear that today.
Right.
We have some in our church that want to be under preaching.
Amen.
They'll travel to hear preaching. They sit under preaching.
Glory to God.
That's why they come. A man bitterly told me in August this year, he said, what, you got a harem of people that follow you? So me being the jerk I am, I said, yes. You're an idiot if you follow me. Or a stalker. But if you follow Christ, I'll be glad to point you to him.
Thank you.
You start guessing people's motives, you're in trouble.
Right.
You start trying to figure out what makes people click, you're in trouble. Why don't you find out what makes you click? You see, we don't want to look at that. We want to watch everybody else and not let God look inwardly on us. So we pray at the start of service, Lord, show me me. And then at the end of the service, you're irritated about something and you don't think God showed you anything. How silly. He's been showing you all week. You know, Brother Asquith picks on Brother Ronnie. To his credit. And I remember dealing with him. He was a nutcase. And he got saved. And
oh, glory.
That didn't change the nutcase part, but he still got saved. God made that man my friend.
God, glory.
I'll tell you the truth. I got weird friends. But I have people that keep me at arm's length because they just really don't have confidence in what we're doing.
Right.
I'm talking to our church. These people that come here are the fruit of this ministry. These people that testify of salvation, this church had a huge part in that.
That's right. They sure did.
You invest in evangelists. This evangelist invests in people. And I'll invest in your young people if you'll let me.
Right.
I've had them push me away. Again, they don't like the methods. Pastor Asker said years ago, he said they like the cake, but they don't like the recipe. Some people love the formality and deadness of religion more than they love the move of God. Peter told me today, he said, I'm going to talk to Randy about that blurting out church. I said, I said, let it bother people. Maybe God will show them what they are.
Amen.
That's
good.
I remember sitting in church service and Brother Cliff Taylor was preaching. A girl in the front row started yelling, I want to go home. But then I said, man, just a few minutes. I want to leave. Man, we'll get you home in just a few minutes. I want to go home now. He said, people don't want to act like that. Do you care about that lady? Or do you care about religion? Do you care about her soul? Do you care about religion? I got neighbors, my wife and I wept over this week trying to get them to come to these meetings. They've been avoiding us like the plague. You think I'm going to quit? Nope. The second I see him in the driveway, it's on, buddy. You know why? Because they told me they'd come.
Get him.
Do your neighbors even know you know the Lord?
Come on.
Or they just know you're religious? You don't have to like the methods. But you find another country church in the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania on a Friday night, and you look at the crowd that's in here. It has nothing to do with Richard Black or Tim McVeigh, John Askew. It has to do because they want to be under the preaching of the Word of God.
That's right.
And some people find that bitter.
No.
Some people, it's a bitter pill to swallow. The sanctity of our little church. I hope we're doing okay. God's trying to reveal that to you, but your thoughts are accusing or else excusing one another. That's not really what I am, but that is exactly what you are. Frustration is a result of you not getting your way. That's what frustration is. I get frustrated with my children. Why? I can't control them. Now, whose fault's that? I know, but she's a good wife. So. Let's go to Ezekiel 36. I asked the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, I just need your spirit to guide tonight, to guide the message. I don't even have a message, but I have an olive tree. So we'll just open up this olive tree and see what comes forth. Ezekiel 36 and verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. Israel disobeyed God. They defiled the land by what? Their own way. You want to make sure you defile yourself, you just follow your own spirit. Yeah. You devise your own way. People believe this happenstance thing way too much. They believe their way is just happenstance. I was born to this family. My daddy was a drunkard. My mommy was a drunkard. I was just predestined to be a drunkard, I guess. No, you devised that way when you took that bottle and put it to your lips. You became a transgressor when you ignored the law of God. And the way of the transgressor is hard. You chose that way. And I realize sin gets a hold of you. Sin begins to spin out of control. It's not cliche to say sin will take you farther than you ever thought you'd go. Sin taking occasion by the commandment slew me. That's what sin will do. It'll establish your way because the sin of Israel established their way. It was not God's way. They had an ideal. They had a reason. But because of their way, it was an uncleanness to God. So in verse 18, he poured out his fury upon them. For the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols where they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way and according to their doings. I judged them. Now, cognizant of the fact that we're dealing with Israel, cognizant of the fact we're dealing with prophecy, I understand we're going to see a restoration to those people that's in Jesus Christ. But I'm going to use this as a catapult for a precept that God gives us here for us to apply to us in this day before that coming kingdom of Christ. When they entered into the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are the people of the Lord and are gone forth out of his land. So what did the heathen see? They saw people that named the name of the Lord living according to their way. God judged them for that. They named the name of the Lord, but would not follow in his way. They devised their own paths, their own reasoning, if you will, their own direction, and walked in those paths while they named the name of the Lord. But I want you to notice verse 21. This is the thrust of the message tonight. But I had pity for mine holy name. God had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. So the word of God came, and it came back to Israel, and Ezekiel the prophet prophesied to them because of the pity which the Lord had upon his holy name. Therefore, he prophesied unto them concerning his name that had been profaned among the heathen. What does it mean to profane the name of the Lord? Is to take his name and make it an unholy thing. We use the term cursing. Take the Lord's name in vain. The Lord's name is holy. And people use that as an exclamation of anger or frustration or out of vileness. We call it profanity. It's profaning his name. What he speaks of here is a people that have gone in their own way. They have their own idols. They have their own groves. They have their own religion, if you will. But then they name the name of the Lord. That's most religion today. They name the name of the Lord, but people live like hell. They act like hell. Now you say, you ought not say things like that. Okay, they live like the devil. Does that satisfy you? They act like the devil. They're the children of the devil. The work of their father they do because they are children of hell. And they're on their way to hell. And therefore they act that way, but all the time naming the name of Christ.
Come on now.
They sing, our God is an awesome God. And they sway and they sing and they profane his name in their life, in their fornications, in their adulteries, in their uncleanness. Recently, I made mention of this. We're to abstain from fornication. Somebody talked about that tonight. Yet, today in religion, most churches are hotbeds of dating. They're hotbeds to find girls. The girls get passed around like tape. Everybody dates everybody. They're fornicators. All in the name of God. All in the name of Jesus Christ. Preachers today are unclean and filthy. They don't live holy. They don't dress holy. Their wives don't dress holy. And yet they name the name of Jesus Christ. They have an unholy book they call a Bible. But they don't even believe the book they do have. They don't practice the book they do have. It's all subject to negotiation because it's uncleanness. But this is what he said. He had pity on them. For his holy name. You know why? These people were his people. They were the people of God. And God took pity on them for his name. And if we're to get help from God tonight, the last night of the meeting, as far as I know, Pastor Black will be back in the pulpit Sunday school. For the sleepy hour, 10:30 will be here for the main sleeping hour. And then 6 o'clock that night, we'll be back for singing and more sleep. Things will be back to normal. Most people have not changed. Most people have never seen themselves. Most people still have a form of godliness. Most will still have religion. There'll be a time when the meeting will maybe rise a little bit within us, and then it'll peter out again. We'll be back in the doldrums and depression and the sufferings. Why? Because we would not let God show us what we really were. It's a time of excitement. It'll be a time of zeal. And if slowly it drifts away, why? We never got right with God. But if God would pity us according to His holy name, then God could do for us what we need. And I believe we need to ask the Lord for pity. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake. Do you think God put you here this week for you? Do you think God put a church here for you? Do I believe that God needs me in evangelism? You think God needs Pastor Richard Black? You think God needs a Pastor John Asquith? No. If He lets us be used of Him, it's because of His holy name. And if God works in your life, it's not because of who you are. It's because of who His Son is.
Right.
If God's given you any good thing, and by the way, He is a good God. And He's a faithful God. And every good gift, by the way, God has given me good gifts in my life. We know it comes from above. And yet, in our thinking, it's because of us, it's because of who we are, because of what we've done, because of our status, because of our religiosity. God's obligated to meet with us. I hope no one came in these services this week thinking God's obligated to meet with us because of who we are. We're the Manasseh Community Baptist Church. We're the ones that are proud of our two outdoor toilets. Well, last year we only had one. Somebody said to me recently, they said, you don't even have running water at your church. I said, I beg to differ. You just got to look both ways before you go get it. Is God obligated to meet with us? No, He's not. Is God obligated to help us? No, He's not. Is God obligated to reveal you to you? No, He is not, although He has tried. What God will do, God will exalt the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. God will extol Him, put Him in His highest place. Because that's the purpose that He's purposed in the church. I read church's statements of faith. They say, God has brought us together for the fellowship of the brethren of like-minded people. Could you all look up in here and listen to me for a second? There ain't a person in here that's like-minded with me. And if you find somebody like-minded like you, you've lost your mind. You have the loony bin, you'll find all kinds of people that think alike.
Right.
Amen. Right. They say we need to be like-minded. What that means is we all going to dress the same, or at least make our wives dress the same and drive the same color van. That's all that means. No, to be like-minded is the mind of Christ.
That's right.
And that means I can wear a white shirt, you can wear a blue shirt, a gray shirt, a pink shirt, doesn't matter what you... I even said pink shirt, that don't bother me one bit. If you're man enough to wear it, I'm man enough to make fun of it. Don't bother me. Like-minded is in Christ. That's not what these churches mean. They mean that they come together and they all act a certain way and they act pious and they sit around, they talk about absolutely nothing. And they call themselves a church. And they all tell each other what they want to hear and speak great swelling words, and they all just love each other.
Right.
I told a man recently, we were sitting around a table, and he was asking me about some folks. We got some folks here tonight from the Plain community. He was asking me questions about that. And he said, well, you know, don't you think that's a better life? And I said, no. I said, living in Tahiti on the beach is a better life. Don't let that bother you. You've obviously never been there. Why? You're out in the sun, sitting on the beach. What do you do? Sit around and drink coconut milk all day. Fish. It's a pretty good life. That's what you're living for. He didn't get it, so I had to explain to him. I said, when you think something's a better life, that's carnal. Because the only better life you're going to have is in Christ. Doesn't matter where you live, what your circumstances, how you dress, what you do. The only better life you're going to find is a life that's hid with God in Christ. That's the life that God wants for you.
Amen.
That's right. I can live that life anywhere in this world. I can live that life in Christ. You see, we want to control those surroundings, those environments. We want to control everything around us and then say, oh, I submitted myself to God. I did what God wanted me to do. We've lost sight of his name. Our ideals are all in us. What we think the church should be is all about us. That old Brother Herbert story, I've used to hear it at least 14 times, but I figure the pastor can repeat himself once or twice. I can too. They called the church. I've been privy to the phone calls. They said, what do you have for the children? They say, well, we got preaching. And they say, well, yeah, but what do you have for the children? He'd stammer and go, well, we have a Sunday school hour with preaching. Then no, pastor, what do you have for the young people? Well, we got preaching. But what do you do with your youth? We preach to them. Hang up the phone. Now it tears some of you out of the frame, wouldn't it? You say you ought to at least, you know, take them down to Disney World once in a while. I say take them blackberry picking on the mountain. Let them start in the middle of the thicket. Why is preaching so offensive? Because the preach of the cross is in the parish. Foolishness. But those of us who are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
People say, well, that's not for us. And Brother Herbert said, well, if you want preaching, come on by. He said, that's not a church. No, that is a church.
Right.
Church is a pillar and ground of the truth.
Amen.
The principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That's how you know the manifold wisdom of God. It's the principalities and powers in heavenly places. It's by the church. Go to China. Go to Shanghai, or where the Pat Nod was. They have 3 foot of insulation on the walls, hoping that the party officials don't hear them singing in the apartments. They used a coding system to schedule services. Everything they brought a visitor was at risk to their own lives to be put in jail. And he said he'd be coming up the stairway in those 20, 25 story high rise in Shanghai. He said, get in the stairway, he'd go, oh no, they're going to get caught. It'll be 2 a.m. The song's just echoing down through the stairwell. He said, get there and tell them, you can't sing so loud. He said, the little Chinese people said, their tears running down their face, singing songs in Chinese and just enjoying the good things of God, enjoying that life in Christ. 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh, they couldn't be on schedule. They could not meet on the first day of the week. That's not a church. What do they do with the young people? Same thing I do. Set them on a church pew and pray that God opens their ears. That's what a church is. Problem is, that's not your ideal of a church, is it? What if we never had another bite of food? What if we never had another special event? It wouldn't take long if we folks say, well, preacher, you know, I mean, we love you and your family. It's not personal. You wonder why there's no revival? There's no concern over what God wants. Because we have our own ideals and our own reasonings and thinking, our own ways. And we want to put God in that path with us. And God will not be moved. And if you want to find God, guess what you got to do? You got to go find Him. But to find Him, you got to be on the right path. He said He'll do this for His name. His holy name. Look at what He did for Israel. Verse 23, He said, I will sanctify my great name, which is profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. He told Israel, and will bring you into your own land. And by the way, that's why they're warring today. God's getting the land ready. And He's going to bring them back. But let's make application to us. If you're dispensational, this will kill you. You'll probably die of a heart attack before I'm done. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. Why? They're unclean as that woman without. They're unclean. Their ways are unclean. They're in fornication, adulteries, uncleanness. Pornography abounds. Lust abounds. Filth abounds. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. It's what the Bible says. Amen. It's good for a man not. And then there's always some sarcastic idiot. He goes, well, why do men shake hands with women in the church? Well, it doesn't say you can't shake hands. He's talking about touching in the sense of trying to allure, or trying to use that touch. You start lingering shaking hands, you're in trouble. But we don't believe that because we're so unclean.
Yep.
We're so filthy. We need that clean water from God to cleanse us. You realize most people don't live at home like they live in church. At home, they profane the name of the Lord. I love that statement that was made. I want to be clear about that. It was a little bit earlier on today. Talking about using them binoculars. Watching people fighting out in their yard. And then God sanctifying them. God saving them. You and I have learned something. This may not be you, and if it's not, to God be the glory. The fight may not stop, but sure is different.
Right.
You don't have to like that. But if you haven't fought with your wife in the last 10 years you're married, stand up, we're going to acknowledge you and bow. Your buddy, Gary, Stephen. Nobody said amen to me. Now he's all weirded out. Brian Moose would stand, but he has a kidney stone. It makes it a whole lot more tolerable. You know why? Because Jesus Christ in your home.
Right.
I can still kiss my wife and go to bed and wake up and not be angry with her.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I can go in the kitchen and tell my wife I still love you.
Yep.
Put my arms on my wife and let her know I care. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is in our home. I said, Jesus Christ is in our home. Forgiveness is in our home. Compassion is in our home. That's why I'm not bragging. I'm just giving God the glory.
Amen.
What's one of the biggest failures of the church? People got homes that are hell.
Yes,
they try to come to church and act like it's working. Act like it's right. Act like it's good. and there's nothing real about it.
Uh-oh. Come on, preacher, that's right.
An old man I knew is in his 80s, he's with the Lord now. He'd made the statement back in the late 90s, the father-son banquet. The evangelist asked us a question. The man stood up and he testified. He said, I want you to know, his name was Billy Guy. He said, I've never had a cross word with my wife. And he was serious. All the men started being sarcastic. Yeah, she must be deaf, you know, or she must be a mute, you know, ha ha. They're all making jokes and stuff like that. And he didn't get offended. He just said, men, I've never had a cross word with my wife. I went and asked his wife. You know, she said, he's a perfect gentleman to me.
Amen. Amen.
What an asset to a church. What an asset to a church when I watch people treat their wives like dogs.
Oh, brother.
I watch men come in strutting like peacocks. Their wife comes in haggard like an old hen. I watch them coming in courting like that. Tonight. That's just a little levity. She's not haggard like an old hen yet.
Not either.
Let me say this to you. What makes up the church? People.
That's right.
What's the single point of failure in a church? People. What's the great joy in the church? People. What is the ministry? People.
That's right.
Who do you have your biggest problem with? No, God. Because if you can't love your neighbors, it's because you don't love God.
Right.
Amen. Set you up, didn't I? Your biggest problem is a God problem. He said on this wise, tenderhearted, help me out now, forgiving one another. Did he not? So why can't you forgive? Why can't you tolerate those people different than you? With BJ Sedane, ladies in front of us, I thought it was a joke. She had nine different colors of hair. I guess for Halloween, I don't know. You don't know nowadays. You don't want to ask because you find out it's not. Liliana goes, Mommy, look, her hair's pretty. My wife just said, be quiet. And I wanted to say, let her talk. Boy, that made me better than that lady, didn't it? My little girl's all pretty, got her hair combed. My wife's all pretty, got her hair combed. Boy, that just made us so much better than that little girl. That little heathen girl doesn't know better. Boy, we're so much better than her. We love the Lord so much more than she does. We have such a happy family. You over there today, perfect, isn't it, Tim? Wonderful, yeah. We've lost sight of a lot of things. And one of the main things we've lost sight of is that holy name of the Lord. Everything here is in his name. That's the purpose. Why is the church a pillar and ground of the truth? Because the pillar lifts up and gives strength. The ground is down where that common man is. God instructs us each. God teaches us. His pastor already weans us from the breast. He'll give you strong meat for your desire. And he does that in the church. You want to be a Christian, you'll learn at church. You'll learn from the Word of God. You'll learn from teaching. You'll learn from instruction, from exhortation. You want to live right, you'll learn at church. You want to learn how to be happy, you'll learn at church. See, how do you be happy? Happy is a man whom God correcteth.
That's right.
Amen. Preacher, I want to be happy. Let God correct you then.
Right.
All those bad attitudes and snarkiness and bitterness and malice and jealousies and envy and strife and variance. All those things that have come out this week. If you've asked God to reveal you to you, that's not you. How come nobody gets jealous of people they consider beneath them? What an odd thing. I'll use Brother Ronnie. He's already been abused tonight horribly. Who's jealous of Ronnie Skolton? I mean, he's the bottom of the barrel, right, Bob? That's told he's the bottom of the barrel. Brother, I said, God's raising up men from the bottom of the barrel. Brother Ryan looked at me, and I was like, don't look at me. Look at yourself. And we get jealous of those people over us, those people we esteem higher than ourselves. But you know what's interesting? The Lord tells us to esteem every man better than ourselves. So if you're jealous, boy, you're not going to survive. You're envious of what people have, you're in trouble. I wish I could have a family like that. Once you take the family you have, just make it better.
That's right.
Yes, sir. I wish I could have a wife like that. Well, that's just wicked.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you help the wife you do have?
Come on.
Oh, if I could just have her husband. Now listen, God forbid there be a lady here that would ever cross your mind, go talk to my wife. It'll never cross your mind again. Amen, man.
Yeah.
How silly. You know, the grass is always green on the other side of the fence, isn't it? That's Proverbs 12:9, something like that. I was looking for a good Bible verse. That's what I came up with. And there's folks in the church house always looking at everybody else, always comparing themselves amongst themselves, which is not wise.
That's right.
I asked the Lord today. I said, Lord, I don't know what it's going to take in this meeting. I've watched the hardness. The pastor said he hasn't really sensed any great resistance. I have. Tremendous resistance. I believe it goes back to Tuesday night when we asked the Lord to reveal him to us and reveal us to us.
Uh-oh.
And then God did that. And I think we just refused to believe what we saw.
I think so.
I think we just would not see what we would not see what God tried to show us. Said, no, it's got to be somebody else. It's got to be somebody else. It's got to be somebody else. You know, as the evangelist, it's the easiest thing in the world. Thinking, you know, if Pastor Black would just get right with God, boy, this meeting would be better. And Pastor Black's going, you know, if Tim McVeigh would just get right with God, this meeting would be better. And all of you are thinking, you know, if those two guys would get right with God, this meeting would be so much better. And then we're sitting there going, if these people would get right with God, this meeting would be so much better. And everybody's just pointing fingers all over the place. But you know, the reality of it is, if we would just get right with God and respond to what God has shown us, there's no telling what God could do, not only tonight, but in the months to come, in the years to come, in the church. But we think more highly of ourselves than we ought.
We do.
Right. I'm going to be honest. I'm probably one of my favorite preachers. I have all my CDs. I listen to myself in the podcast every day. Peter said about listening to the podcast. I said, don't turn that junk on in here. I don't want to hear myself preach. My poor wife's listened to everything I have now for the last 6 weeks straight. Now listen, we just left Friday 6 weeks ago. We drove to Maine, spent the night, continued on to Maine 4 days in the same room with our children. Drove 12 hours back home, had 1 day home, 5 hours in North Carolina. Preached for 4 days, drove 5 hours home, were home for 1 day, drove 5 hours to Western New York, 2 weeks in Western New York, came back to Shippensburg meetings last week, drove over here for the meetings. I don't even know how many times I've preached. My wife has heard everything I know at least 10 times. But doesn't excuse her, does it? Doesn't excuse her. I'm tired. Oh, good excuse. You imagine standing before God, why didn't you do more? I was tired. You don't help a lot of you. Turn your stinking internet off and go to bed.
Oh, yeah.
It'll do wonders.
That's good.
I got home last night. I went to bed at 12:02. Now, this is not normally me. I toss and turn. I don't know what time I went to sleep. I imagine it was 12:02:01. At 5:15, I regretted that last glass of water. And people come up and say, I'm tired. Would love to be there, but I'm not feeling well. Lady told us tonight, said, I'm not contagious. And I never believed that, but said, I haven't felt well. The doctor said, I'm not contagious. And made a great statement to me. I thank you, sister. I believe she said, just wanted to be here.
Amen.
There's an expectation.
That's right.
But an expectation is not going to happen unless we get this thing right.
That's right.
We remember the name of the Lord to profane not his holy name.
Oh, that's good.
To keep him first and foremost. What does he do for Israel? It started. I got sidetracked. Now listen, I talk about winging it. You all have no idea. I know you can tell tonight, but this is way beyond winging it. And when I sprinkle clean water upon you, you should be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. If that's the pizza place, there's a lot of people here, okay? We have a lot of pizza coming. Which wouldn't be bad if somebody wanted to order. He said, all your filth and all your idols will I cleanse you. And then notice verse 26. This is really the thrust of what we're going to deal with tonight. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you.
Amen.
And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. You're one of the great followers of modern day Christianity. People will not change. They will not change. You know, when God gives you a fleshy heart, you want that fleshy heart is soft. It's workable. It's pliable. God can mold it. God can shape it. God can use it. God can pet. You know what he cannot use? He cannot use Nabal's old heart, that heart of stone. One of the most damning things in religion is this is just how we do it. I mean, some people just absolutely love it. They love order. They love order more than they love God. We're talking about being disorder. They love order more than they love godliness. They say, well, this is the way we've always done it. What if it's wrong? What if it's wrong? I remember years ago, and I've used the illustration here, but I preached a Sunday school lesson on basically old wives' fables, tales. And I talked about poison ivy. And that's I would study it extensively. And I thought about poison ivy and how it doesn't spread and how it bonds with your skin after 20 minutes. And I went through all, I had one after another. People end up going, that's not right. Mm-hmm. Brother McVeigh, that's not right. And I'm going, no, they proven it right here. Here's the study. You know, 19 years, science study. No, that's not right. That's not right. And you do something different in the church service and God moves and somebody goes, that's not right. See a little stirring of God, and somebody goes, that's not right. Mm-hmm. See that little stirring in hearts. I say, hey, wait a minute. Now we can't do that. You've gone too far again. Some of you were there. But the more he's left, probably wouldn't say this when I'm sitting here. We watched up in New York. These young men sang a song. Many of them are here tonight. He was an influence on them. They were up there testifying about Dale Morey cussing them out in Sunday school class.
Amen.
And people went, oh, that's awful. Well, it's better than it was. At least one his wife. People so pious.
Right.
You can only cuss in your heart. You can't cuss out loud.
That's right.
Amen.
Don't cuss. We're in church. All right, get in the car quick.
Yeah.
By the way, he don't cuss no more, I don't think. I've heard him in a long time, thank the Lord.
Hey,
I've heard two men cuss from the pulpit. Amen. I heard a man, I mean, he said something so awful, I actually cringe, and I don't cringe anymore. Brother Herbert said, son, what'd you say? He's like, I don't know where that came from, but like, or whatever, it just came out your mouth. That's where it came from. These young men, they weren't glorifying Dale Moore. They were glorifying the God of Dale Moore.
That's right.
Amen. And I said, but Dale, why don't you go up here and preach? The young men stood up here and egg him on. Now, some of you were privy to it 3.5 hours later. Man with steel in his back, steel in his neck, preaching the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes,
he did. Middle of that service, John Mark got saved.
That's right.
Well, the more he goes up to Maine, I watched online, a man gets up and goes, now I heard Brother Moore talk about preaching 3.5 hours. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't sit and watch Dale Moore preach 3.5 hours. And I thought to myself, yeah, I bet you wouldn't.
Right.
I bet you wouldn't.
Amen.
But some of us did.
Amen.
Some of us cussed John Asquith under our breath when he shut him off at 11:30. At least I did. Maybe nobody else. But you can't cuss out loud. Remember that. You got to do it in your heart.
Yeah.
Amen. That's where most adultery is at, by the way. It's in the heart.
Right.
Oh, we don't do it out. No, we wouldn't do that, but you do it in your heart.
Right.
Get that longing, that desire. Well, my wife's not good enough anymore. Well, start looking. My husband's not good enough. Start looking. That old adultery in the heart. Oh, man. Wickedness, godlessness, wretchedness, vileness comes out of the heart. What we're talking about is a hard heart. Nabal's heart became as a stone. God killed him. A heart that can no longer receive truth. It's a dead heart. God's trying to get through to us this week. Trying to reveal your ways. Trying to reveal what you are. We will not respond to God. It's been great emotion on the altar. It's been tears on the altar. Lost people on the altar. I told somebody the other night, and I know folks didn't believe it until probably 20 plus people came up here and sat on mourners' benches in this meeting. And boy, that just bothers people to no end. I say, why don't they just get saved? Well, what you mean is why don't they make a profession of faith? There's a big difference between a profession of faith and salvation.
That's right. Yes, sir. Sure is.
A profession is not going to help you.
That's right.
But possession will. And I'd rather settle for the real thing. People used to stay, and Stephen used to drive people nuts, even more than now. They say, he just seems so confused. I'm going, he's lost. What do you think, lost people got this figured out? One person said this, those folks that meeting of them, they seem like they're confused. I go, well, they are confused. But then it started hitting close to home, didn't it? Then it started hitting in Blaine, Pennsylvania. And God started dissolving some of these little professions around here.
Thank God.
And that still bothers some people. That puts us in cult status. But you know what I'm willing to do? I'm willing to labor with them, pray with them, watch them weep until Christ is formed in them.
Amen.
And that's what he's trying to do. But I don't know if he can unless we get right. He said, I couldn't inhibit a sinner from being saved. You better read your Bible.
That's right.
You better read your Bible.
Yeah.
They profaned the name of the Lord. Just that bitterness will keep God out of a service. I've been in meetings where one person comes in. It's like a cold breeze in the service.
That's right. Amen.
I've prayed people out of meetings before, and don't go spreading that around the world. I said, Lord, would you please remove this person from the meeting? And he has. Now I want you to look up here. Not because of who I am, because of who the great God of heaven is. I've prayed pastors out of churches before. And I'm praying right now for one.
Oh, brother.
He's going to damn their souls. He's going to damn their children. I got too much invested in some churches to let some cowtow come in there and teach them false doctrine. Lie to them. Deceive them. By the way, God's heard and answered that prayer. And a man told me at his table, he said, well, the church requires me to keep preaching King James Bible, but he goes, I just use my own translations, and I like the New King James. At his table, sitting across from me, I said, dear God, would you get this man out of here? 18 months later, he was gone. Don't let that bother you. God brought him a Bible-believing pastor, by the way. He holds that King James Bible high, holds it very high esteem. We just don't think it's going to happen to us. We don't think God will take our candlestick away. You know why God will? Because of hardness of hearts. We will not repent. Everything's going great. Everything's rosy. Everything's fine. Like, everything's going great at the church. Why would you want to change anything? Because spaghetti supper doesn't mean the church is going great. Extra desserts doesn't mean the church is going great. Road cleanup doesn't mean the church is going great. Youth activities doesn't mean the church is going great. All of them do that. Where's the power of God? Where's the power of God where sinners are under conviction? Families are restored.
Amen.
Stony hearts are made fleshy. Where's that power of God at?
Amen.
We've resisted it. We're scared of it. We're afraid it might change us. We're afraid what it'll do to us. I'm going to be honest, he's referred to this before. When I first met Pastor Black, he didn't like me much.
Amen.
He didn't bother me a bit. I knew I could change him. His wife's like, him? You know, when we started getting along, we started talking about the Bible. And the day he called me on the phone, it was going down from Altoona on Highway 99. He made a statement to me on the phone. If I made it here, some of you would have a heart attack. I just clicked off my Bluetooth. We got done getting down towards Bedford. I said, he got it. He sees it. To God be the... By the way, within a year and a half of that, God put us in this church. Not because of my brother-in-law. It's not nepotism. I know some people think that. It's not nepotism. But he sees the issue of the Bible. He sees the issue of salvation. He sees the issue of letting people just work out their own salvation with fear and trembling.
Glory to God.
Amen.
That's why I'm here. I add very little to this church. I bring my tithes in once every 4 months. Feels that way. I had to put so much in after 9 weeks, I about had a heart attack. I told my wife, we're rich. She goes, you pay tithes? I started crying. Did you have an offering? I said, no. We'll just go sell something. No, it's not that bad. I'm partially joking. But yeah, God's put us in this church. And God's put us in this church for His glory.
Amen.
This is the place I come on Sunday morning when we're tired and wore out and drained. This is the place we come, we hang our hat. And I sit back there and stay awake and listen to the preaching. And God helps my family.
Amen.
You all realize I've been listening to myself for 6 straight weeks? You think you're bored. You ought to be me. It's almost painful. I find myself repeating myself for the 15th time and I don't even care anymore. I say, well, they heard this 15 times, but I don't care. I don't know what else to say. I'm so tired, my eyes are crossed in my head. We come here and God gives us strength.
Amen.
God restores us. God builds us back up. Because this is the church. And it's His church. And it's His name. He didn't do it because of me. And He didn't do it because of you. He didn't do it because of that man back there. He did it because of His dear Son.
Amen.
And that's the focus. He said, why do you let people sit there lost? What am I supposed to do? Flog them? Kick them? That thou shouldest bray a fool and a mortar with wheat and a pestle, yet not his foolishness depart from him.
Right.
We do grind him to death. That's what it's speaking of. No. You keep preaching. You keep preaching. You keep preaching. You keep preaching. And folks say, is that all you all preach? Somebody said, you know, all you preach is the Old Testament. Well, listen to the Old Testament then. Because if you see him in the old, you won't have trouble finding him in the new.
That's right.
You're a legalist. Yes, I am. I believe the law of God is perfect, converting the soul.
That's right.
Man said to me one time, he said, are you a sinless perfectionist? I said, no, but I sure am trying. I just haven't quite got there yet. That's not my doctrine, that's my practice. Just throwing that out there. I failed many times, failed today. What's the hesitation? Why can't you just jump in with both feet? Why can't you just come to this great God of glory and say, you know what, I'm just going to cast it all on him? Is that a little bit of doubt?
Yeah.
Just that little bit of doubt. Why is there a little bit of doubt? Because you don't believe. Why don't you believe that hardness of your heart?
Yeah.
It's not even you believe God can't, you just don't believe God will.
That's right.
I don't know how many people have testified, a couple in this room. Said, I thought you all made some of this stuff up. I believe it was Nicholas said, he said, you'd go up there and you'd moderate that meet. I thought you had all that stuff planned out. I just started laughing. I said, are you kidding me? I don't have a clue what I'm doing. I'm not being funny. Listen, you can say it's unprofessional. I don't care about that. Half the time I get in the pulpit, I don't know what I'm doing when I get in the pulpit. I'm not being funny about that. I knew what I was going to say tonight. If I said anything of any value at all, it's not me. But we don't believe that.
Right.
Well, they got a plan. He's trying to get our money. God doesn't need your money.
That's right.
God just wants you.
That's right.
All they preach about the new birth. Let me tell you when I'm going to stop that. When everybody here has it. I won't have to preach it anymore.
Amen.
But if there's one, I'm going to preach it.
Amen.
Like this statement that man said right there. He told Tanya Spencer. She said, people trying to run me out of church. They don't want me here. He said, if they make you leave, he said, I'll come preach to you.
Amen.
And I believe that. We've invested our life in people. A pastor's invested his life in people. And can I say this of you? You ought to be thankful.
Yes.
Not because of me, not because of him. Because there's a God in heaven that put a King James Bible in your lap.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
He seated you in the house of God where somebody cares for your soul.
Amen.
But do you even believe that? You know what's crazy about religion? Religion will leave you high and dry and stranded when times get tough. Religion will abandon you when you get down and out. Religion will look at you as a scourge when you get low. This great God of heaven, the Word of God, when you get low, he'll come seeking you. How low? Horrible pit,
yep.
Miry clay. He'll lift you up, put your feet on the solid rock, to establish your going. He'll put a new song in your heart.
Right.
You know, one of the reasons I knew God had saved me? I had a song in my heart. I couldn't stop singing.
Right.
Now, that was back before I preached all these years. My voice was more angelic and beautiful and sweet. There's not a person here that can prove otherwise. So be quiet about it. But I'd ride around just singing the songs of glory, singing the hymns, rejoicing in the goodness of God. God put a new song in my heart. You know where I learned those songs? Right here.
Amen.
You know where I learned the scriptures? Right here. You know where I've seen the power of God move? Right here. I've rejoiced in having my children sit in service with the power of God. Now listen, so you got to explain everything today. You say, how do you know it's the power of God? One word, holiness.
Amen.
Holiness.
Amen.
I had a couple of people say, I didn't get much out of last night. I had people say, God just floored them. I had another man told me, he said, I didn't get anything about the last 10 minutes. All of a sudden, God just started opening things up to me. I had people text me today that said, God showed me things this morning from last night.
Amen.
If there's anything good, it's holiness. It's holiness. It's holiness. It's nothing else. How do the power of God? Because it's holiness. You find yourself feeling unclean. You find yourself feeling unworthy. You realize you're nothing. You realize you're reduced. You realize you're lower than scum. And that great God of heaven is exalted in your heart. And you want nothing more than to bow the knee to Him and worship Him and come into His presence with thanksgiving, to His courts with praise. And I've had the privilege in my life to be in those services time after time. I can think of probably 20 times in my life, in 27 years of being saved, I've been in those type of services where just the holiness of God was made manifest. I've seen sinners converted in those services. I've seen lives changed in those services. I've seen some of your lives changed in those services.
Amen.
And I long for it again. I long when that young lady stands and says, Friday night after the meeting, I went home to my bedroom. I couldn't sleep, and God met with me and saved me. I long for that young man that says, you know, I was really wrestling, struggling. I had to get low with God in the midnight hour. God came where I was and saved me. I long for that holiness is in a service. The young man comes down the altar and he gets up and his countenance changes. And everybody on the platform looks at him and goes, something's wrong with him.
Yeah.
I walked up to that young lady sitting back there. She'll tell you if she remembers. She probably doesn't because it's her uncle and they try to ignore me. I said, what you so happy about? She goes, nothing. I said, did you get it? She goes, yeah.
Good.
Some of you don't know what that means. But if you didn't get it, you'd know.
That's right.
I tell you, no much has been made about Timothy and Megan this week. Cause most people like her. I was sitting in a church service, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, sitting about five rows back on the aisle, just waiting. Stephen's in agony. Samantha's over there weeping. Sam's preaching. People all over the place in tears. 3 hours after the service is done, I watched that young man leap to his feet. He confessed with his mouth that Jesus Christ was Lord, that God had saved him.
Praise God.
That's why we do this.
Yeah.
That's why we need holiness. That's why we need some of you to just get over yourself.
Yes.
Just get right with God. I've been in the service. There was great shouting and great rejoicing and great victory. The presence of God so real, so tangible. At night we speak of him, Sister Vernon, pastor's wife. Got saved that next morning. It's probably about 10 o'clock that night. Brother David and I, Brother Zach, we don't hardly speak of it. Brother Rose, I've never spoke of it. It's one of those you don't even talk about. It was just in the church, and all of a sudden the power of God fell in that place. And I fell on my face. And I just wept. And I rejoiced that I had the privilege to be in the house of God on a Thursday night. And I rejoiced in the goodness of God. That next morning when I got that text, I was coming down into Salem. I pulled off in the sheet store and sat in the parking lot and wept. I called Brother David. I said, "What in the world's going on?" He's weeping. He said, "Brother, my wife got saved."
Thank God.
And some of you've never got to see it. You've never got to witness it. You've never got to be a part of it. Your heart's so hard you don't even care. You think it's foolishness. You think it's ridiculous. You think it's silly. You think that's silly. I'll tell you some stories. You think that's silly. I went down by the harbor, got out of the pulpit, run around the church, comes back in, snowing so hard he's got snow piled up on his head. He said, "I don't think a man ought to run around the church." Well, everybody else goes to the gym. Why can't you run around the church? Why should this bothers people? Would you rather me have a bicycle? And Brother Sammy preaching over there in Philadelphia. The presence of God dropped in that place. Old motorcycle biker, a black man in a black motorcycle gang. They used to have shootouts with the pagans in Southeast Philly. Walked up there in his white snakeskin boots. Knelt down on the altar, up there weeping on the altar, sobbing on the altar.
Glory to God.
Brother Allen said, "Brother, go up there and pray with him." I said, "Sir, what'd you come for?" And he just said, "I'm so wicked. I'm so wicked. I'm so wicked." Why couldn't God do that here? Because we won't let God show us. We profaned his name. We love our self-righteousness more than we love him. We love our aesthetic of church more than we love him. We love religion more than we love him. I want to be real clear about something. If you think it's a performance, that doesn't bother me one bit. But I'd invite you, as long as my wife's up, you're a lady, I advise you to come sit in my living room sometime about 5:30 in the morning. And you'll see how I act. The only difference is they don't let me have Diet Mountain Dew in the pulpit.
That's right.
This is what you get. You know why it's real to me.
That's right.
I got saved in 1997 out of a life of sin. God brought me up out of the dung heap, seated me in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And said I was rough as a cob, man. Nobody in this place knows that man that existed 27 years ago down in Hagerstown, Maryland. But the sheriffs knew. Hagerstown City Police knew. The FBI knew. My neighbors knew. Church people knew what a fool I was. But this great God of heaven entered my life. And he took someone below Ronnie Skolton in the barrel and scraped him out of the mire at the bottom of the barrel and brought him up out of that horrible pit where there's no water. He put my feet on that solid rock of Jesus Christ. In 2001, he called me to preach. I couldn't preach. My goodness, I couldn't preach. I was horrible. It was terrible. I went to the nursing home. First message I ever preached, I went to the nursing home. Western Maryland Hospital. I preached to invalids on Paul's suffering. They're invalids. They're unconscious. It's a fool. I never had a clue how to preach. I'd go stand outside the gay bar and I'd preach the gospel to them. They come out there, rocks at me and curse me. I go down the streets, crossing the courthouse, preach the wages of sin is death when trials were getting out, the 11 o'clock break. They come out and curse me and mock me, threaten to kill me. I learned to stand alone this first years. I met Brother Herbert, he put me in evangelism. Out on the road, I learned how to stand alone. Learned how to be a single man, not live in sin. And you listen, not live in sin. Traveled all over this country preaching. Met Pastor Black some 11 years ago. And I liked him. Of course, he had character. Was nice. I had neither. If I didn't care. Then God put us in this church. I believe this is our 8th October meeting, November meeting. I believe it's our 8th. It might be our 7th, but I believe it's our 8th. There's people I've prayed in this church for 8 years. Never seen you move, never seen you twitch, never seen you move a muscle. I go through these pews and pray for the people in this church, every single one of them. I pray for every person, every family. Oftentimes my family, we get together in devotions. When we get together, we pray for the people in this church. Pray and labor over needs in the pews of this church. Pray God will move. Pray God will stir. Pray God will save. Call me names. Mock, scoff, blow it off, whatever you want to do. But there's many here that need this great God of heaven to give you a new heart. Pull out that old stony heart and give you a new life. I was so rough, I didn't know how to deal with Christian people. So they put me in the rescue mission. I learned how to go in there and preach in a rescue mission. Finally, God broke my heart about having compassion with those men. Last year, God let me go back to the rescue mission for the first time in 18 years. Preach again the rescue mission. So on the streets of Baltimore, in the homeless ministry, preaching, teaching, helping people. Been in the barrios of the Philippines, witnessing, preaching. Been in the ghettos of Honduras, preaching. All over this world, God sent me to preach. Got to preach my first overseas message in the country of Okinawa, by the southern part of Japan. Two guys I worked with were over there with me. They sat there with their mouths wide open, stunned by the preaching. And I have to explain to them on the airplane, well, it's not naturally me. No, it's not something I naturally do. I said, that's just this great God of heaven has filled my lips to preach. Call me to preach and give me the ministry and give me the ability to even to say words that would mean anything. Worst of the worst. And you young people, no telling what God could do with you, as clean as some of you are. As pure as some of you are.
Oh, brother.
I told Mimo down here, I said, listen, if you all... this is the Lord's will, and God continues this, and you decide to get married, there's no telling what God can do with them. John and Samantha, as awful and horrible and wicked as you all were, you were some of the most horrible people I've ever known. I just like to say that. You know why it doesn't offend them like it would offend? It would tear you to pieces, wouldn't it? The old self-righteous person. Were you all offended?
No.
I took it easy on them. No telling what God can do with them. Jake, man, there's no telling what God's going to do with you. No telling what God's going to do. I'm behind them, buddy. You listen, I'm behind them.
That's right. Amen. Glory to God.
Whatever they need, I'm behind them, friend. Kyle Beal, no telling what God's going to do with you. Ricky Audie, no telling what God can do with you, too.
That's right. That's why.
All that backwards shyness you got from your grandpa, God made him a great preacher. No telling what God can do. Little dunderheaded boys on the back row back there. You know what I see? I see potential. But a lot of you can't see that. But I see it. There's no telling. Josh, there's no telling what God will do with your family if you get this thing settled with God.
That's right.
My buddy Reed's back there. Reed is crazy. He hunts, traps, kills, and eats snapping turtles for fun. But he's my friend. You know why I don't have normal friends? Because religious people don't like that. No telling what God can do with Reed and Miss Ivy back there.
Yeah, I believe it.
No telling what God can do. You young ladies, no telling what God can do. Eli, no telling what God can do with your family. You get in the house of God. Love God, put him first. No telling what God can do with you. Get this church behind you. You ask these young preachers, I'll let them preach, buddy. I'll put them out there. I'll get them out there trying to preach. They live clean. I'll have them. I don't care if it's on my back porch. My leg. You say, why would you have a back porch? We've had over 40 people on our back porch listening to preachers preach. Most young preachers are glad to preach to two. But are you willing to let God show you you? Are you willing to let God show you you?
Come on.
I'm going to make a little light humor, but it's not funny. Nobody wants a 17-year-old Ford, but God does.
That's right. Amen.
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 God does.
Amen.
Yeah, he does.
I like it.
No telling. Lord, show me you. Lord, show me me. And whatever it takes. You want to pray? I never imagined 1,000 years I'd stand in a pulpit and preach the word of God. I preached in over 35 states, 5-6 different countries. That's not bragging. That's just the goodness of God. I never meant to have a wife that lived right. You had asked me 30 years ago, I said, that's just something that I have to marry some old bar hag. If you wanted to, why would you want to get married if you had to marry a bar hag? I wouldn't even want to be married. I'd be single, down at Charlestown racetrack, watching the horses, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes if I was alive. But God.
Amen.
But God. God's given me 3 wonderful children. I know you don't like them, but I do, so I don't care what you think.
Amen.
Amen.
I pray over them. Dear God, use them. Dear God, make them something.
Dear God.
My boys don't have to preach. They just get saved and sit in the house of God and love God all the days of their life. They don't have to preach one word.
That's right. Absolutely.
How?
But if they did preach, they're going to be just like their daddy.
Amen.
How about you? You want more preaching? I don't think you need it. I probably said too much already. You say, why do sometimes you and some of these other men, why do you shout and rejoice like you do? Well, I hope you find out someday.
Amen.
You meet this great God of glory, someday you'll find out too. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. You need to come, you come.